be ye doers of the word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A mother, unless she deceive herself, is by definition a doer. So much so that we here at church try some Friday evenings to lure our busy Christian mothers to a little recollection in order for her to take some time for herself and her soul, in order for her to hear the word as well as keep it. Once I was told that there are some priests who never preach about Mother's Day. But for me, it is a sweet honor to stand reverently before this shrine, ever ancient, ever new, and to salute humanity's clearest approach to heaven, a good mother. And doubly so to do this in May as we crown her through whom heaven reached down to earth, our blessed mother. Sister asked me the other day if I didn't want to start using artificial flowers for the corsages that the children carry for May crowning, because that way they would last a long time. And while the plastic has its place, silk they call it, still Mother's Day seems to require the real thing. After all, what is more natural than the arms of a little child clinging to its mother? And what is more supernatural than a mother? Motherhood with its roots deep in revealed religion, the fourth commandment, as our little ones have learned this year, honor thy father and thy mother. And as our big ones must never forget, that thou mayest be long lived upon the earth. Not just the commandments, but the creed. Every day we say, born of the Virgin Mary. And if on December 25th we recall that God became a little child, on the second Sunday of May we remember that in Bethlehem's bleak stable he found that which all of the glittering courts of heaven could not give him, a mother. When Jesus, the divine person, was born of Mary, the human person, motherhood received its highest compliment. Every real mother takes her motto from today's epistle, be ye doers of the word. And by this she earns her epitaph. She lived for others. That is to say, she not only gives us life, but from then on, she gives her life for us. Motherhood is not merely something material, a matter of a womb. It is deeply spiritual. It goes to the heart. And a real mother sees the word self, S-E-L-F, as the very last listing in her dictionary. Those whose maternity is only a physical fact commit a kind of sacrilege against the sanctity of motherhood. They may be said to be mothers if Judas may be said to be an apostle, or Pontius Pilate, a just judge. It should be a consolation this Mother's Day for every woman to remember that if some be mothers in the flesh, but not in the spirit, sadly so, then others, even if not in the flesh, are mothers, doubly so, by dedication and devotion, if not by nature. Think of the example of the mothers of adopted children, and of aunts and of sisters who perhaps never married, but always had time to mother others in the family and beyond it, of every type and description, finding, as all mothers do, their happiness in bringing happiness to others. To say nothing of those brides of Christ vowed to poverty, who have nothing to give but their lives, the Catholic sister, and how many of us have had our lives touched by the examples of these selfless religious. Surely the golden glow of motherhood's shining candle shines on these as well. Still today, though, the phone rings and restaurant reservations await, gifts are bought, and flowers have been sent to honor mothers in the ordinary sense of the word, that extraordinary human being who is the purest tabernacle of human love. Mothers who went without sleep to bring sleep to us. Mothers who give up necessities to get luxuries for their children. Mothers who went with worry to spare us a moment's care. The mothers who cheered us when we were sad and forgave us when we were bad. More than once, too, perhaps, standing between us and the towering figure of an angry dad. A doer, indeed, she is, and a doer of such great deeds. God created everything for a purpose, and he must have made a mother's heart for sacrifice. At each pilgrimage a woman makes to the altar of motherhood, she sacrifices something of her youth and her beauty left behind. But she carries away a compensation which she passes on to her children, something of her own radiance and grace and energy and happiness, along with its key, her strong faith. So as we take from mother and grow up, she grows older. We grow stronger, she grows weaker. And when the snow of years' worth of work and worry shows with her whitened hair and melts a bit in tears at times that line her face, she looks lovingly to heaven, not any longer just her hope, but now beckoning her home for her reward. Her work is almost done, but ours is just begun, and it is to us to help her and never leave her alone or abandoned. One day when she dies, we will be alone in that unique hour of loss. But we will need a mother still, and more in the strong days of adulthood than in the faltering steps of childhood. For now it is a question not of breaking dishes, but of breaking the divine law, not of falling in a puddle with clean clothes, but of staining our souls with the mud of mortal sin, not of running home with a skinned knee, but of crawling back with a broken heart. Not just fearing the whipping of an angry father, but of facing the judgment of a just God. God knows we still need a mother. God knows, God knew, and so dying on the cross, he gave us his own. Son, he said, behold thy mother. When the last century opened, 100 years worth of wars and destruction, which would see the deaths of tens of millions of men, chiefly due to socialism, national and international. That 20th century, which would see before its end the death of the last Catholic countries and of every shred of Christian culture, and almost the death of the church, for she would be, as predicted, reduced to domestic dimensions. Our Lord sent again to earth his mother 90 years ago this afternoon, with the sun itself as her publicity agent, to dance in the sky and to fall to the earth, to catch the eye of all who will dance only to their own tune, and if so, will fall one day into hell like leaves in the autumn. He sent her to earth, to Fatima, so far from heaven, and yet as she left his throne, she carried with her in her heart, as she did in the long ago, during those first 9 blessed months of expectation, her divine son, one at heart with him. My immaculate heart will be your refuge, she says, the way that will lead you to God. Pray, pray, children, the rosary every day. And she dresses us, this mother does, in sensible brown, the scapular of Mount Carmel. And she asks, at least once in our lives, would it be too much, do you think, the tribute of the 5 first Saturdays? And in her, ever our mother, and still in her heart, we can go and slip off the stained cloak of all of the sins of all of the years and become a little child again. And like Sister Laboureux, kneel at her knees and put our hands in her lap and whisper all of the troubles of our life. Troubles that no one sees and no one may suspect. To her, we can lift up our face without shame, even if it be stained with sin. She looks, as mothers will, beyond the dirt, and she sees only her child still, whom she loves. Mother of God, bless our mothers. Keep these doers of the word and reward those who have gone off now with thee. O Mother, of all mothers blessed, listen to my fond request. Number me among thine own. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.